What up, folks? We got ads. Sun's out and shades are in. Get your home summer ready with custom window treatments from Blinds.com. Get a high-end without the high-end price with the most popular outdoor shades and transform your backyard into the perfect weekend oasis with light filtering shades that help block UV rays without obstructing your view. Plus, right now, Blinds.com is offering up to 35% off everything, making it a breeze to upgrade any room in your home, indoors or out. With over 25 million blinds sold and 35,000 five-star reviews, there's a reason why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window treatments in the world. Whether you do it yourself or have them handle the install from start to finish, Blinds.com makes ordering custom window treatments online easy with free shipping and a 100% guaranteed perfect fit. Perfect fit? 100% guaranteed? Can't beat that. Sunshine and barbecues are in the forecast. Upgrade your backyard and window treatments with Blinds.com today and enjoy your new view all summer long. Go to the link in our show notes to shop up to 35% off site-wide. That's the link in our show notes for up to 35% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
And boom, there we go. What's up? Welcome back, everybody, to another edition. Tell me a joke. A little bit. The pile out of cases of jokes. Ah, shit, bro. I'm just fucked me up. The guy out of chasing. Tell me a joke. The guy out of chasing a dream, man. I'm your host, Michael Chris Gossman. It makes it weird. Standing out here today with the homie, AJ Bell, the mysterious one.
Always.
What's up, man? How you been, dude?
I've been all right. How you been, man?
Oh,
good to see you back in town.
Yeah. Here for the 4th of July weekend. It's the 4th. Today is the 4th. We throw out the dates for people from sometimes. And, you know, it feels good. It feels good out here today. It's good to see faces. I'm glad to be in the scene, just because like all other scenes ain't like this one. They don't feel the same. So when I come down here, everything feels natural. And like we were speaking earlier about,
that the situation.
Right, the situation. How do you feel about that?
So I'll explain the situation for anybody who's listening and doesn't know the situation, which is that we had an improv theater here. Actually, right down the street from where we are right now.
Right. We're at High Ho.
Yes.
On St. Claude.
Yes, and this place was an improv theater. They did improv, and apparently they had shitty business practices on top of sexual harassment against the students that went there. Got called out for it. There was an entire city hall meeting. They got canceled and shut down. A couple years later, now they're opening up the first comedy club in New Orleans. And the New Orleans scene is just kind of divided on whether or not to perform there. Some people are and some people aren't. And the people who are performing are getting punished by the people who aren't. So it's like a weird situation.
The trickle down. It's like, well, if you do shit with them over there, we don't fuck with you over here.
Exactly.
And this is where everybody wants to be, is over on here. And this side is where everything is kind of like copacetic. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the royalties or whatever's happening. But before, those people never used to pay people. Whenever they would bring people in, they would bring people on, and they wouldn't give them money and shit. And they also had some fucked up shit going on to where allegations of like sexual assault and such.
Yeah.
But now it's just like if that's what's going down, and you know, it's like, all right, thanks for trying to bring awareness of comedy to the city.
Yeah.
But y'all still some shitty individuals, and I don't really fuck with y'all like that on a level.
Yeah.
But do your thing. Let's see where it goes.
You see, that's an issue I have. Like, it's weird to mix this with business, to put in ethics with business. It's weird to do in America, but I try to. I mean, these people are people who run this business. And if I know people the way I think I know people, it's that we change, we learn, we grow. I mean, we make mistakes, we do shit that we know is wrong. That we know is wrong. And, you know, we get called out and punished for it sometimes, and we change. But my thing is, I had a whole different situation. I'm not going to be performing there myself for a whole different situation. But yeah. I do believe in giving people room to, you know, grow and show that they're different. These people got called out in front of the whole city, pretty much.
For the whole city. The entire city.
You think they're
going
to repeat this?
No, they might not repeat it, but if you get told something, like, take that for, like, people trying to be like, hey, bring an awareness to what the fuck happened. Hey, we know, don't do this shit no more, but don't go around gloating, being like, hey, nigga, fuck what y'all talking about, we still gonna do this. And, you know, like, yeah, they should have, like, some type of come together. Or,
I mean, there definitely needs to be, because this is a social situation. There's ways you get punished in front of the law, and there's ways you get punished socially. And as far as the law is
social
concerned,
shit is terrible.
And exactly, because it's hard to navigate. There's no rules to follow. You just kind of got to go off of personal, individual
right
preferences and, like, what, how your own sensibilities are. So what I find is that while I believe in, you know, people offering second chances and stuff like that, I don't believe in the people who were affected by it having or subscribing to that mentality. You're allowed to feel however you are about someone that wronged you, or feel however you want to about someone that affected you negatively.
But you still feel as if people deserve a second chance, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the people they hurt have no obligation to give that to them.
No.
Because I'm on the outside of the situation. It didn't happen to me.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm in a privileged position of not being, you know, involved in it directly or having that experience.
Yeah.
So I can say second chances, but I wouldn't say this to the victims because, you know, they experienced that. And, you know, it's not really my right to say, hey, give them another chance or anything
right
like that, even if I am. But even with that, I'm still not going to do it because...
Just because of how other people feel about it.
It's a mix of things. How they feel about it, how they came into the scene. They were coming in, acting like they were the only comedy thing happening in New Orleans. I read all the articles.
The arrogance. Yeah, the arrogance of it is is a bit much for
and
me.
I'm around the corner from them. I run the show around the corner from them. So they came in like, oh, we're bringing comedy to New Orleans. Like, no, the fuck, you're not. We have a scene.
Right. That's one of the reasons why I don't really... Because it's just like, all right, you did some heinous shit. And most people might not know about what you're doing, but still, you don't bring awareness to anything else that's happening out here. And we've been here.
Exactly.
You know, we've been here. I've been here for doing this about 9 years out here growing up in this scene and seeing the new people. And, you know, y'all part of the new generation. That's the reason, just another one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you. Just because it's like, just, you know, pick your brain and see how you feel about comedy, basically, and just how things are going for you. Because I've been out in the world, and from what I've seen, this is the best scene to grow in.
Yeah.
Like, the best scene comedy-wise to grow in. Just...
And you see, that's why it's so hard for me to leave it, because when I was, like, in my first, like, year or two, I was like, I'm going to move to L.A. or move to New York or whatever, move somewhere and try to, like, grow.
Yeah.
But then everybody would come from those places to hear and say, yo, this is the best scene to, like, grow in. Y'all got, like, everything perfectly down here.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, what's the point of moving there? Because they're saying this is the place to do it. And I'm already here, and I have shows that I run here.
Well,
so
the thing is if you're not having a show, we don't have the clubs. We don't have the clubs to get the big people out here.
Exactly.
Which to get the big name people to see us, which it puts us in like a cycle to where it just keeps it revolving. And that's the reason why I dipped out, because I didn't have people to come down and say that, hey, man, don't go here because this is where, I mean, we've heard people say, hey, this is an amazing scene. But other people was always like, hey, man, you need to go here. You need to go out to the Meccas, New York or L.A.
Right.
You know, and so I'm like, all right. And that's why I chose to go to L.A. And L.A. was like, nah, this is not what's up.
Right.
Like, that shit was terrible. Like, going out there, the energy, motherfucker, the succubuses that are out there, the motherfuckers that just want to take what you have and use it as their own.
Yeah,
yeah, I couldn't. I was like, this is not what I expected. And nobody tells you that. And it's like, you gotta venture off to see that for yourself. And I wanted, I guess I'll be that scapegoat or that guy.
I mean, please say this, because it's hard for me as somebody who's not new, but like, you know,
it's
early
scene.
In the scene,
so
like compared to everybody else.
I don't want to lie to nobody. I'm not about to lie to nobody. That shit was terrible out there, son. Like, if you're not in the scene, or if you're not part of the people that are the big name, like, if you ain't in the door, then it ain't shit for you.
Yeah.
It ain't shit for you out there. Unless you make you grind your way to the top, or you can find somebody. The motherfuckers, most people are brown-nosing their way in. Most people are sucking a lot of ass.
Right.
Most people kiss ass out there. You see people steal. You see people steal blatantly. Also, you see people fucking just cling on to somebody until they make it and just run from there. Yeah. Don't even put in the work themselves. Yep. And to see that, like, firsthand, you'd be like, oh, I didn't know it. Yeah. And the energy felt different. The open mics felt different. Felt nothing like this. Anytime you got to pay for an open mic, it's like, are you serious? I'm paying you for my time?
Yeah.
I'm already a starving artist. Why are you going to make me pay for open mic? And sometimes it might be a potluck. Or a potluck. Yeah. We are a lottery. We got to shake this fucking bucket up. And if you put your name in this bucket, you might get a chance tonight. You might not get a chance tonight. Still, you don't get your money back if you go up or not. So I'm just like, nah,
yeah,
this ain't the way to go.
And like, I was hearing shit like that. Not all of that. I'm glad you said more, because I was hearing similar things of bringer shows and potlucks and shit like that.
That's how it was at Flappers.
Of course, the like fake ass, dumb ass LA scene.
Yeah.
Full of date bullshit. And I was listening to a Mark Norman podcast recently, and it's hard to get, this is how hard it is to get like information as a comic of where to go next or what's your next step when you feel like you reach a certain point. I was watching Mark Norman's podcast, and you know, he's like, you know, growing now as a comedian.
Yeah.
And people are asking him, okay, you went to New York after New Orleans, why'd you go to New York and not LA? And he was like, well, I wanted to be a good comedian.
Yeah.
And that was the only insight I had to, like fucking writers go to New York, and you know, actors and shit go to LA.
Yeah.
And
we can catch this, what it's called. Boom, back in it. Okay. Mark Norman.
Yeah, I was listening to this podcast, and it kind of solidified the difference between New York and LA, because I was bouncing back and forth for a couple of years. Like, do I go to New York? Do I go to LA? Which one do I do? Do I go to Austin? Do I go to this place, that place? And I heard my woman say, I went to New York because I want to be a good comedian.
Yeah.
And they all just kind of snapped together. People that I met from New York were solid writers. The people I met from LA were just like acting like comedians. And that drew the line in the sand. It's like, you know, writers go to New York, actors go to LA, and comedians go to Chicago.
That's exactly how I saw it. Because when I went out there, we don't have that.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, because when I went out there, like, that's exactly what you see in LA. And then when you get to New York, like, I ran into Drex, the homie Drex out there. Like, you can definitely tell that, you motherfuckers write out here. You motherfuckers make sure it's, like, y'all writing for sitcoms, and y'all are writing for some type of show. You know, while in New York, they're pretending. I mean, in California, they're pretending to be what they see on TV, and because that's what they're doing out there. They do a lot of online material out in California.
Yeah, you see, and that's what I picked up on, just staying here and having them come to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you can validate that experience, because that's what I picked up on. And when I heard Mark Norman say that, it kind of brought it all together, where it's like, everybody I met from LA was acting like a comedian.
Yeah.
Everybody I met from New York was solid in the right. Everything was perfectly.
Yep.
And they didn't have like quite right the acting chops that sometimes do on the stage.
Right.
But they could still smash the audience with the writing alone. And then people I met from Chicago were just like, on point. And Marcus went to Chicago and he came back and it was on point.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to get out there now.
I haven't gotten the feel of Chicago, but that's another place I want to go to to check out, just because, like, down here you get the full middle effect of it. Like, they got the people have the personality, they got the writing, they got everything that you need to be a great comic down here, because motherfuckers push each other, and
even if unintentionally,
right, unintentionally, but. You know, everybody, we definitely punch up each other's jokes and stuff, and we give pointers instead of beating each other down thinking that it's a competition, because it's never a competition, because we all can work together.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we all do.
Yeah, and that's the scene I experienced when I first started. But you know what's unfortunate is, you know, these issues that are rising up in the scene is causing division. What it's showing is the beginnings of like a culture war within the scene. Because there's already, you know, down here.
The split.
Yeah, there's already the split between the scene and the black scene.
Right. You know, the urban.
Yeah, and now it's about the split between, like, you know, the women's scene and the gay scene. And
yeah.
Now it's about to split up even more based on
this division.
Shit. Yeah.
God
it's
damn.
It's about to get all chopped up. And it's a shame. And I'm trying to do my best to start shows that are just neutral ones.
Yeah.
For all these people that just want to write and want to do comedy. Because that's what we have down here. We have people that want to write and want to do comedy. And they want to do acting, they want to do improv, and they want to do all these things, and they're all incredible at it. But we don't have a support system. And every time we get something that seems like it, it's always some drawback. Every step we take forward is two steps backwards. And the drama of the scene hinders us so much, and people aren't focused on comedy a lot. And I'm friends with these people on social media, and most of their posts are just complaining about these issues instead of actually, you know, being a comedian, writing jokes. But I also, I get where they're coming from. There is morality in coming up in entertainment now, because we're applying morality. We're holding people accountable.
Yeah.
And I think we should. But when things don't always go through and work out with the law, it's left to the social side, and that doesn't always work out either. So, you know, we're at a loss.
Wait, it's becoming more political down here now when it comes to the scene and the comedy, just because I've seen it. It's become just a hey GG. Humps from the back. I love it. Yeah.
No, this is me and Cass.
No, I want to say hi. I just want to say hi.
GG in the building.
Say hey to everybody, GG.
No.
So I got a vest.
Oh, you're doing, like,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, looking festive.
You.
Sorry.
I got a vest.
You smell great, Gigi. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, you're definitely right. It's becoming way more political down here. And it's showing in the scene the way people go to mics. Which mics people choose to go to, which mics different people choose to avoid.
Yeah.
Everybody has their list of mics they go to, where before, everybody used to go to
pretty much good. Everything. It's good that it can be like that, but it sucks that it has to be like that.
It has to. It's not a choice we're making where we just naturally set up these mics. It's like, yo, there's a line in the sand being drawn, and these people can't come here. This is a queer show, or a black show, or a women's show, or this show, or that show, and I'm just trying to make loose spaces where everybody can sort of mix.
Yeah.
In the midst of that, because I see the division happening, so I want to counteract something.
That's kind of how what we had with the spontaneous show. Just like anybody can come and it's going to be spontaneous. People understand that it's going to be spontaneous. But having to deal with it now, it's just like it's too prominent. Like everything is right there in your face, and there's no backing down from, like, if this is what this show is and this is what it's going to be. And if you say otherwise, then, motherfucker, you going against what we're saying and you get canceled that way.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, shit. So,
which is why I understand both sides. I don't blame anybody for any side they choose. There are people that don't want to do it and people who do for different reasons. And I let them do their thing. But me personally, where I draw the line for myself is punishing people that make that decision. You want to punish the people that are the originator of the problem. Oh, they did this, they were bad.
Right.
I don't support them, but if you go, I'm going to. For my own self-interest, as selfish as it may be. That's life, you got to look out for you. I'm not going to punish them. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, you're unwelcome here, you're unwelcome there, because you're setting up a dangerous, like, precedent. Where does that lead? Like, how far are you really going to jump on all that? Where it's like, oh, I'm punishing you for doing this. So now any show you have, I'm not going to be on. But if someone does your show, do you have to punish them too? Because you did the show with the guy that you claim is supporting this shit you don't agree with. And then you do have to punish anybody who works with him? Like, where are you going to actually draw that line? Okay, you did the show, but you're putting on a show.
Right.
So if you book this person, we're still okay with that person for doing your show.
I did somebody else's show in the venue that nobody else likes, and I started getting attacked for that. And it was like, Kyle, what are you doing? And I'm like, what you mean what I'm doing? Man, this ain't got nothing to do with the venue. I'm helping out a friend at this moment. He ain't got nothing to do with these people. So don't come attack me because I'm at this place. I mean, it's still the building. You know, they not the building.
Right.
Like, so don't be mad because I'm doing a performance here. Yeah, fuck these people. Okay, sure. But yeah, I don't pick sides. I'm not for sides. I'm here for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but still, if there's certain things that certain people don't like, then I'll just stay away from that. You know, I don't have to indulge in whatever's going on over there just because everybody else doesn't like it. I'm not a bandwagon ass nigga. I'm not about to hop on this fucking wagon because everybody else is following through. Exactly. I like to make my own path. I feel as if, you know, nigga, if we playing follow the leader, I'm the one that's it.
Yeah.
So I would like to be first in hand. Whenever it comes to this bullshit out here, because I'm like, just keep me out.
That's just the result of thinking for yourself. And a lot of, not even just comedy, but our politics in general are evolved around, you know, this thought circles, these fucking mental cliques, these echo chambers that people just bounce the same ideas off of, and they get louder and louder until that's all you can perceive. And it's sort of, this is naturally something people fall into, because I recognize with things like indoctrination, with things like racism, homophobia, religion, is put into you at birth by the people around you.
Yeah.
Your entire community, your entire support system is predicated on these strict ideals of Scientology, of Christianity, of we don't like the niggers, or we don't like the faggots, or some shit like that. And if you think for a second that you can step outside of that, all of that comes crumbling down around you. Your support system, every person you ever known was and never been close to, never felt for, was believing in this. But that's a deeper issue of the comedy scene. It's the same symptom where these people who we formulate these bonds with, they go off on this direction, believing in this thing, and they all move together. And, you know, you found yourself in the inner circle of that area of their space. And so you go, oh, fuck. Am I going to go with them or just let all that shit crumble?
It's like a jail scene. It's like, oh, which side should I pick?
Yeah.
Which side is the safest?
And yeah.
Seems like ain't no side the safest, because
so
everything,
want.
Everything. So at some point in time, one of the something's gonna crumble.
Yeah.
And that makes it so confusing, because it's like, why can't we just all be one?
Yeah.
Like, why can't it be like that? Like, it's so crazy the accomplishments that could come out of if everybody could come together and we can just merge all types of shows together, and it's just be one big smorgasbord of motherfuckers just out here eating.
But you know what I think this is? It's just a symptom of a growing scene. We are getting more comics starting. We're getting more first-timers. We're getting more attention. We got a club now. And look at all the other scenes that are really big. They're all chopped up.
It's not the first club, though. They've had clubs before.
Yeah,
but
the one on
they never stick around long enough to be like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's always good to regenerate and restart. And see if you can pull it off from there, but because you have more knowledge now and more resources. So I mean, you know, nobody's saying that it's gonna flop or fail, but it's on the wrong side of the fucking line. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, oh shit,
it's the wrong people.
Yeah, it's like China got theirs first. It's like, god damn it, but we have the people and the resources.
I forgot if this is supposed to be funny. I'm so sorry for bringing up all this shit.
It's fine. That's good, though. It's something that people need to hear, because, I mean, this is what happened. This is still part of the dream chase.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we got to deal with now that you're in the social portion of comedy. Like, you actually got to deal with the politics of it, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this shit is happening. So it's like, how you gonna navigate it now? Now that you're here, now that you established yourself, you put in, how long you been doing this for?
It'll be 4 years in November.
You put in more than 3 years. I was telling some of the last person I was talking to, I don't think I did on the pod, but it, like that 3 year mark, once you pass that 3 year mark, that's when you know that you're prepared to do something. You're prepared to go in for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
First year, all right, that's nice if that first year goes through. All right, that might have been a fluke. Second year, all right, maybe I'm doing this, maybe I'm not. Third year, if you pass the third year and you get through fucking 3 full years of doing that same shit, that's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
And if you can go ahead and fucking muscle up through them 3 years and not let it break you and not quit doing that thing that you're doing, that fourth year, it's like, all right, this is what I'm doing. Now I have to learn to get better. And that's when you know, okay, now I'm going to have to deal with these politics.
Yeah.
Before when those 3 years was in, I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
I didn't give a fuck, because this, I might do this, I might not do this.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm in this, all right, this is something that I'm going to have to deal with. And now I'm getting deeper and deeper into the whole scene of just comedy itself, the whole life of it, the nucleus. I'm getting to the center of my passion, of the dream that I'm chasing, and see where the fuck it goes from there. It's difficult to navigate.
It is. It's incredibly difficult. And I'm glad you said that, because that also put into perspective my journey with comedy. Because that's absolutely right. Because I started, and when I started, this is my own perspective. Everybody sees different things, because you know, you got older comics looking at you as a youngin, and you're gonna have a different perspective on the way you remember yourself being a youngin. And I'm still young, but
right.
when I first started, I didn't have anything to lose. I was doing a bucket list item, to be honest. I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it. And then I was like, yeah, I like the taste of it.
Yeah.
So I kept doing it. And then, you know, you get feedback and criticism, naturally.
Right.
When you're doing it, people are going to be like, you suck, or oh, that was good, or whatever. I was getting both. And I was just obsessed with comedy after a couple months.
Yeah.
That was the only thing on my mind. And the only thing on my mind was comedy and proving everybody who said I wasn't good wrong. So I just wrote my ass off all the time. And I was dead set on making sure people knew I was good. And, you know, at a certain point, that kind of happened. I just wrote better material.
Yeah.
I was getting good faster. I was writing new stuff every week. And then after the first year goes by, yeah, I'm doing it. The second year, I started to slow it down. Like, wait, hold up. Is this what I'm going to do? Like, questioning right. myself. Is this it?
Yeah.
And then the third year solidified, like, yeah, I want to do this. I actually want to do this. And then Corona hit, so I didn't get to experience too much in my fourth year. But
yeah.
Now that I'm back at it doing it after Corona and we're out here doing full-fledged, I'm writing again. I'm obsessed. Like, I'm going for it. And, like, I'm actually in it because, you know, I thought with that first year, me writing material all the time, I was just, you know, my honeymoon phase. So I was just in love with comedy. But now I'm serious about comedy. And I feel like there's that difference. And everybody's journey is different, but that's just been mine up to this point where I went from an obsession, in love thing with comedy to now being serious about it.
Right.
After
right.
Now being serious. Like, not just, oh, I got a new thing here that I can enjoy. No, it's like, no, this is gonna be my life.
I've noticed, like, the new people that come around to comedy, like, how I feel about it and how the new people come around feel about it. I'm like, oh, I don't have that strong of a passion as you have for it right now, because, nigga, I've been doing this. Nigga, we married now. Like, nigga, this is my old lady and been my old lady. Like, you in the dating phase, so you having a good time. You ain't hit no lumps and fucking, you ain't get your bruises yet.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see those fresh faces, but until them years come in, until they put that time in, until they get married to the game, then it's just like, oh, you see now.
Yeah.
Calm your stupid ass down.
Yeah.
You're going to be here for a while, bitch. And it's like, okay. Yeah, yeah, so I love to see the fresh faces. And then
some of them just disappear. And it's
you see the people who make it, and you see the people who's like, oh, he couldn't. This person couldn't take it, but this person's here for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love to see the people that stick around. You know who's going to stick around and who's not going to make it. And you see the people that drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, you enjoying it now? Wait till the hardship comes.
Yep.
And then it's going to hit you. All right. This has been good. Okay, good. So, in the process of being out here, and, you know, you just went on stage.
Yeah.
You did your thing. Good shit.
Appreciate you.
What Joker would you say, from Batman series, what Joker would you say best embodies you?
The movie series?
Any Joker. It just, a Joker.
The most recent one, Joker the movie.
Joker the movie? That the Joaquin Phoenix
Joaquin
Joker?
Phoenix, yes.
Okay.
I think that one best embodies me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because that Joker isn't just like possessed by some madness or some shit like that, with just some motive. He was afflicted with it.
Yeah.
Like, he had to deal with it. And that's how I feel like I am with most things in my life. My own mind, my passion, work, family, friends, I have to deal with.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's up. All right. Before we get out of here, I like to ask everybody this. It's a silly question. All right. So you got options.
Okay.
It's be one, raise one, sell one, and then fuck one of them.
Okay.
All right.
Be one, raise one, sell one, and fuck one.
Yeah. And your options are, you got a mermaid, a mogwai, a Mexican, and a manatee. All right. You got to be one of them. You got to raise one of them. You got to sell one of them, and you got to fuck one of them.
Okay. All right. Options one more time.
What's up, man? What's up? Good to see you.
Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Jake Cosner.
Carry on.
Appreciate you, Jake. Jake Cosner, everybody.
What were the options one more
time? Mermaid, Mexican, a mogwai, and that's a gizmo from Gremlins.
Okay.
And a manatee.
And a manatee. I would... be a manatee.
Okay.
They seem chill. They just seem chill. I can live that kind of. They seem lazy. I'm lazy. So.
All right, like a Snorlax. I got it.
Yeah. Be one. Raise one. I would raise. A mermaid.
You raise a mermaid. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's easy. You stand
a
in the water.
Manatee raising a mermaid. I got it. Yeah, that works.
I'm gonna be a manatee. I raise a mermaid. That's a cool story. It's a cool backstory for it.
All right.
My dad's a mermaid. I mean, my dad's a manatee. What you talking about? All right. Sell one. I would sell the Mogwai.
Okay. You can get a lot of money for that on the black market, I would say.
Hey, some people might be into that. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. I'm not into the business of selling things that are living, but whatever.
And I gotta make it. And you'd fuck the Mexican.
Yeah, because I'm in a Latino people.
That works.
Yeah.
That works. But Latino people, would it be bestiality if you're the manatee?
If I'm still a manatee,
if you're the manatee and you're fucking the Mexican,
I'm a fucking manatee. You can't bind me with fucking human laws. I will fuck whatever the fuck I want. Are you kidding me? If it's reciprocal, you arrest her.
Okay. All right. That's a good way to think of it. All right. Good shit, bro. Thank you, AJ Bell, man. Let everybody know where they can find you at.
You can find me at Ugly Dog on Fridays. You can find me at Brooke Ray on Thursdays, Silk Road on Tuesdays.
Silk Road.
And any other mic throughout the week at an open mic working on some new shit. So if you want to find me, hit me up. I'm AJ Bell, OL on everything.
Ah, there you go. All right, everybody. Well, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. I have been your host, the Monarch Minister, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And until next time, man.